You're listening to Awake, a men's podcast by Fellowship Bible Church. Welcome into the Awake podcast. We are excited to be back with you guys. My name's Liam, joined as always by Sean. Sean, welcome back to the podcast. Good to have you, man.
Thanks for having me, Liam. Always good to be here.
So I wanted to, before I introduce our special guest, I wanted to take a minute here to just share a couple of different opportunities that are coming up at the end of the fall. One of them has been going on for the last 20 years, and that's our Friday morning men's prayer gathering that happens every Friday here at the church in the fireside room at 6 a.m. It's a great time to gather together with a group of guys to pray over one another and over the needs of the church. But if you haven't heard, we have also started a Thursday evening men's prayer group that does the exact same thing just in the evening for guys whose schedules don't allow them to make it on Friday mornings, or heck, if you just can't get out of bed. I understand. I know what that's like. So come and join us on Thursday evenings at 7:30 in the same room, the fireside room, to gather together with a group of men to pray. But the big thing I want to let you know that's coming up at the end of the summer, August 25th, we are going to be holding a men's barbecue. You can come and enjoy a night of food and fellowship. We're going to have a variety of different smoked, grilled meat. I mean, what's more man than that, right? Just having a time to get together for a barbecue and
maybe throw the football around a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe throw a football. Maybe I'll beat some people in cornhole. That's kind of my specialty. So if I have any challenges out there, I'm ready to take you down. But this is going to be a great time to hear about some of the upcoming opportunities for men's ministry in the fall. So you do not want to miss out on that. Pay attention to announcements in the upcoming weeks. Take a look at our website. You can see everything you need to know about registering for the event there. But we'd love to have you join us for our fall barbecue, August 25th. So with that being said, I think we should introduce our special guest. Sean, you want to take it away?
I think so too. Yeah. Lots of exciting stuff coming up this fall. I am excited. But today's special guest, we've been looking forward to having you on for a while, is Mitch Miller, Topeka
Mitchell
native.
Miller.
Yes. And and Mitch, we're just so excited. I think mostly just because you speak so much wisdom into our life on a daily basis and so many other people's lives. So it just naturally made fit that with Wise Decisions being the topic of the day, that we'd bring Mitch on and really just dive into a little bit about who you are and then what Joe talked about a few months ago and how we can practically kind of keep living that out. So, Mitch, you want to kind of fill in some listeners on kind of just who you are with FBC, your family, your involvement, kind of stuff like that?
Sure. Yeah, well, thanks for having me, guys. It's good to see everybody today. What a beautiful, hot day here in Topeka. When I just see that for the next week, it's over 100 degrees every day. So
we'll be cooking.
So get out early and enjoy the day. But water up, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I've been around Fellowship now. We just, my wife Fran and I just celebrated 20 years at Fellowship Bible Church.
Wow, that's awesome.
So that's, we were here when the the church services had 150 people in it, 200 people maybe at the most over on Indian Hills Road. Great place to get started, made some great friendships that are there today. And that's fantastic to have that happening. Our family, have two daughters. Well, first of all, Fran and I have been married 46 years. And we have two daughters, Bree and Chelsea. They, one lives in Shawnee and the other one in Columbia, Missouri. Four grandkids that we absolutely adore and just think they're the best things in the world. And as most grandparents would probably tell you, we have a blast. As a matter of fact, my 13-year-old grandson's hanging out with us this week, and we're having a great time just playing some golf and having, just building family and friendship and relationship with him, getting to just be really tight with that guy. So it's really cool. We've been around Fellowship, like I said, 20 years. So Fran and I have been involved. Fran was on staff here part-time for a number of years in the discipleship area and did a lot with community and small groups. I've been a deacon for, 19 years or something like that. And have been on the deacon board ever since. Have seen the church grow. I remember coming to this piece of ground with Mike Tindall and Joe Hishma and Greg Armbruster when it was just an old farmhouse on top of a hill out here near the corner of 10th and Urish, and kind of looking across the land and going, gee whiz, can this really be a church down here?
Yeah.
And thinking about everything that happened and coming out here with chainsaws and axes and clippers and what have you, cutting down trees and doing things like that. And just seeing this place grow is just absolutely been amazing. Mm-hmm. So it's so exciting. It was so exciting here this summer as I was parking cars during Super Kids Super Camp mm-hmm. to see 500 kids mm-hmm. showing up here. I mean, just incredible mm-hmm. How excited those kids were to learn about Jesus, to have a good time. You know, parents excited that they were dropping the kid off for a day and got some free time to themselves, you know. But it was a good thing for everybody. And so, you know, I think of that type of growth and how exciting that kind of thing is just gets me really, really fired up.
When you think about men's ministry, what gets you the most excited about the future of men's ministry at Fellowship?
You know, I the most excited thing is to see men, as we say here, find and follow Jesus. Yeah. You know, it's changed my life, and it did many years before Fellowship, but even more so here at Fellowship for the last 20 years. But see guys find hope in what they're doing, you know, and understand that there's really other people that care, that they can get into community with, that they can grow together with, that they've got someone they can count on when times are tough, and when times are good that they can share and celebrate with. Those are just, that's so exciting to see that. And, you know, when you see a guy walk in and he says, hey, how do I connect here? Boy, there's nothing more exciting for me than to say, hey, we've got a path for you to get involved, to a bunch of brothers that really want to get to know you and be friends with you, support you, whatever it is that you need, we want to be a part of that.
Awesome. Love hearing that. And I've been blessed, and I know Sean would say the same thing, just blessed by knowing you and having you be a part of this church for so long, but also your continued passion and drive to see men live out the calling that God has on their lives. It's something that you take really seriously and are investing in the lives of a lot of guys. And honestly, that's the big reason why we wanted to have Mitch on for this episode is, you know, when we think about the topic of wise decisions, you exemplify wisdom to us. And I know that Sean would echo that statement as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the questions I have with just listening to you speak was, where does that come from, that kind of desire to want to reach that younger generation? Or you kind of talked about having your grandson here this week. How do you speak wisdom into a younger generation? Or, you know, where does that fire come to speak into, I mean, guys like Lee and I our age, but younger than us too. I know you're doing it all the time, like the Super Kids Super Camp. So where's that come from?
You know, I think it's from a desire to see people want to move forward in their lives. We, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't have near as connected a group. We had a good group, and when I was growing up, especially in junior high and high school, it was all about get a job and sports and things like that. I'm sure that's still the same way today. But, you know, when my girls were in junior high and high school, we wanted them connected in the church. So we wanted them to play sports and to have fun in extracurricular activities, band and music and all that. But we wanted to see them really understand who Jesus was mm-hmm. and how he had changed our lives and how he could impact them as well. And so I wanted to see that continue on. It breaks my heart when I see a single mom come in with three little kids and she's wrestling the kids, trying to get them to settle down and to get involved. And she wants to be a part of it. She knows it's important. And yet there's nobody there to help. Mm-hmm. You hear about it from, you know, the crisis pregnancy outreach centers or somewhere like Lifehouse, where kids are abused and there's no one there to protect them. And it's always been on my heart to want to see that done, mm-hmm. to see kids protected, to see the ability for someone to, you know, to do fostering as you know, Liam, that's just something that's always been there for us. And I want to see that continue, and I want to see the opportunity for other people to get involved in that as well. And that's the big thing.
Yeah.
Love it. Mm-hmm. So just to refresh you guys, on the topic of wise decision, we covered this in week 5 of our Awake study that we did earlier in the spring. And in Joe's teaching on the topic, he gave us this understanding of what wise decisions are. He defined them as good judgments, pursuing the right direction, based on a deep understanding and experience of God's word and way in your life. Let me read that one more time. Wise decisions are good judgments, pursuing the right direction, based on a deep understanding and experience of God's word and way in your life. And honestly, I don't think it's hard for us to wrap our head around the general concept of wise decisions. But more practically, what I want to do during this episode is spend time discussing with you how we actually make wise decisions and how we can think through life's simple and complex decisions in a wise way. And so Joe gave us four necessary elements for making wise decisions, and I want to cover those real briefly and then spend some time with you guys just processing through a couple of questions of how we can actually go about this, and hopefully, Mitch, you sharing some of your experience and insight from life and from the Word of God and the Spirit of God to impart to us and those who are listening. So the four necessary elements for making wise decisions are wisdom from God, otherwise known as God's leading and direction, counsel from others, insight from experience, and the courage to follow through. So Mitch, I want to start with that first one. What does it look like in your life to seek the Lord's leading and direction when faced with life's decision or a big decision?
You know, it's interesting that as I was reading the daily readings today that the church is going through, it struck me, and I've got my Bible right here in front of me to read that. In Luke 9, 23 to 26, Jesus said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels." So I think of that and I read that and I think, you know, if you're ashamed, if you're not willing to be put Christ out first, then it just makes your decisions more difficult. You know, then your decisions are based on the world or on somebody else's opinion or what have you. It's not based on your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when I read that this morning, it kind of hit me like, hey, that, you know, there it is right there. That's the wise decision, is that I follow Christ. I take up his cross and I follow him and I stay with him. And he tells me, he promises me right there what he's going to give me. So, you know, that's one place that I see it. One other place, my verse has always been Jeremiah 29:11. Mm-hmm. Probably 80% of our audience could recite it, but it's, you know, for the, I know the plans that I have. You know, we just studied Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Joe had a phenomenal series, Joe, Brian, everybody that taught and led that. But for, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And we all read that, we hear that, we put it up on our wall, or it's in our on our dashboard of our car, or maybe our little Bible app. It's the thing that pops up. But it's the second part of 12 and 13 that really connects. "Then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I'll hear you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with your heart," with your own heart. You know, so, you know, he was talking to the Israelites who he had exiled for 70 years. And he said, you know, "I'll give you the hope and future, but you've got to seek me. You've got to come after me." I mean, think about it. Who of us, if we had an opportunity to have the most famous golfer, Tiger Woods, or baseball player, you know, I don't know, pick one, Babe Ruth, I don't know, pick a guy. Or a business person, Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Hey, you know what? Just follow me. Come to me. Hang with me, and I will teach you. I promise you that I will give you a hope and a future that you won't believe if you'll listen to me and do what I tell you to do and follow me all the way through. And just know, I promise you're going to do well." We'd all jump on top of that immediately. Yeah, are you kidding?
How much do I need to pay?
Yeah, what's that going to cost me? And you know what? It doesn't cost you anything except for your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's at, so.
So on a really practical level, Like, let's say you've got a life decision in front of you, Mitch, whether it's career, retirement, you know, whether to get married or not, kids, those kinds of things. What does it look like in your life to seek that wisdom and direction from the Lord? How have you pursued His direction in those times?
You know, certainly going to prayer, personally, prayer, and then going to wise counsel from my wife of 46 years, who is so much smarter than I am and has so much more wisdom than I do. She ought to be sitting here, not me. She's really wise, and she has so much insight and ladies' intuition. Mm-hmm. Fellas out there, when they tell you that they've got a gut feeling, you ought to listen to them, okay? Just do it. But makes all the difference in the world. And then be able to discuss that and not to take to heart or to want to be the one that is always right. Mm. Okay, I'm asking for your opinion, but I'm really not listening, you know, because I know I'm right.
Yeah.
But I just need someone to bounce this off of. No, listen to them. Mm-hmm. See what they have to say. Evaluate, study it. And then go to trusted business associates or Christians or whoever it is that you trust and you know that they have experience, that they would do anything to help you, whatever it might be. That's where you need to go with that, and that's where I always go. But boy, the first place is on your knees, praying to God, asking for His direction and guidance, and listening for the Holy Spirit to come back. I mean, that's you know, sometimes it's sitting there and listening for that still small voice. You know, that's the key.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that it requires a certain posture of humility when you pursue wisdom from the Lord and when you pursue counsel from others, as you were kind of talking about, because we're not ultimately looking for confirmation bias. You know, we don't want to just hear parroted back to us that, like, oh, yeah, you're right, you're great, you know, you do whatever you think. Mm-hmm. We actually want to pursue the best possible path forward or the best possible decision in God's glory, His best for our lives. And sometimes that means that our gut might be wrong. But that's where the Lord's leading and the counsel of others is really important. Do you have any examples from your life, Sean, that you can think of times where you've had to pursue wisdom from God, and how have you kind of approached pursuing wisdom from the Lord?
Yeah, there's a few that come to mind. There's a few that maybe we'll just keep to the podcast on that, right? Kind of put me on the spot right here. I would think
it's just that what we do.
Yeah, no,
I do.
I think a recent example probably would have to do with a career choice I was trying to make onto that. Was really trying to delve into moving away from the car business. I sought my own prayer, my own kind of group of prayer with you guys onto that. I sought counsel from trusted business associates, almost the exact same things that Mitch is talking about doing, like practically putting them into my life onto that. So, and in the end, it was not my way. It was not my gut decision that ended up being the ultimately the way that we went. So it was God's plans. Everything has kind of turned out the way it is exactly supposed to be. But yeah, I can just, I feel like prayer helped guide my own emotions through that, I would say. So I would suggest, yeah, through these, just navigating your own emotions and what you want and what maybe is good for your wife or your family, you know? Yeah, I think, but also the counsel, just people who have been in front of me to kind of help me navigate what that would look like. Was huge and definitely could have rocked the boat with my emotions or my own pride or my ego and just kind of, you know, just one bad decision after another. You know, we're talking about making wise decisions, but you make a couple of bad decisions in a row and they're kind of going to add up. So, yeah, I just think that kind of career choice this past fall was a huge kind of turning point in what I was trying to do and something like that. So,
you know, I think it's also good to have I guess I call it the band of brothers around you. You don't always go to the same two or three people for advice or for counsel. Not that they wouldn't have your best interest, but you're better known to them. So, you know, sometimes to search out that guy that's a little bit on the periphery, again, maybe there's a 7, 8, 10 different people. That's why men's prayer has been so great. Mm. I mean, there's 15, 18, 20 guys, and now, you know, practically that many on Thursday nights as well. And you get to know guys through that. And you hear a guy talking about he's in the insurance business, or he's a contractor, or he sells cars, or he's a farmer, you know, and you hear. And so all of a sudden you've got some guys you can go to for advice. Hey, you know, I heard you talk about this. It's something I really need to understand, or can you help me with, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not always that same two or three guys. Now, there's that trusted accountability group mm-hmm. that absolutely everybody ought to mm-hmm. try to have, that one or two or three at the most that you really can get into the weeds with. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking for that advice, that wise counsel, I think it's always good to have that larger band of brothers, 8, 10 guys that you can go to at different times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that I have found it to be essential that group includes people that are in the same life stage as me, mm-hmm. behind mm-hmm. me even, but especially guys who are ahead of me mm-hmm. in life, who have been through the life stage of being married. Like the amount of guys that I went to before Allie and I got married to ask them, how do I be a good husband? You know, how do I navigate conflict? How do I do all of the things that a husband's supposed to do, sacrifice myself, lay my life down for her. You know, I could have gone to all the guys who were in the same life stage, but they were engaged and they didn't really know what they were doing either.
Yeah, right.
So I needed the guys who are married for 40 plus years to come alongside me and tell me, it's like, this is what I have learned over the years. And that kind of hits on number three, which is really that insight from experience. That wisdom is something that we glean from the Lord, that he's revealed to us through his word, but he has also given a great amount of wisdom just through the experiences that he has brought into our lives and taught us through those. So Mitch, I'm kind of curious if there have been any like key experiences in your life that have really shaped you that you've been able to pass on to other guys, kind of like in the situation I was just talking about that I was looking for.
Yeah. You know, I think of a couple, and it has to do with my daughters. Both my daughters married great guys. They're godly men. We are so blessed to have that. And we got to know both of them, I don't know, a year and a half before they got married, at least. But when it came time for the engagement, both of my daughters told their fiancés, you need to go talk to my dad. And it was we had set that up, I guess you'd say. It was arranged that way that, hey, you know, we need to do that. And are they man enough to do that? And they certainly were. But so those experiences, that kind of thing where they knew that they need to come ask for permission, and I could ask them hard questions that I did, mm-hmm. you know, you guys know me well enough. I didn't grill them real hard, but I did grill them a little bit. So for 15, 20, 30 minutes.
It's only right. It's only right.
It was fun and it was good. And then I knew the answers anyway. So that type of a thing, to be able to have that in place and know that that experience is going to let them know how I feel about my daughters mm-hmm. and how I expect them to treat my daughters for 5, 10 now. One daughter just celebrate their 20th anniversary. Awesome. The other one's 14, 15 years now. So you know, that's one that I think of right off the bat.
I mean, you know my father-in-law. He's one of the kindest, most compassionate, gentle-spoken men. But I was terrified to have that conversation. And it was incredible. Like it was a great time to learn from him mm-hmm. and hear about some of his experience. But also, like, he knew his daughter best. He had raised her, and so getting to know how to best love her from him was mm-hmm. also really helpful for me.
Yeah.
So does any other life experiences come to mind that were just pivotal for you that you have kind of time and time again been able to speak into the lives of other men who have sought you out?
Yeah. The unfortunate illness-type scenarios. And my wife has gone through cancer twice now. She did it almost 20 years ago and went through a 6-month recovery period. And now for the last year, she has gone through the same thing again. And so learning how to be a good husband during that time, to be a good caregiver, to you know, to accept help from other people. Hey, we're tough, man. We can handle this. Mm-hmm. No, you can't. You know, you need other people. And she needed other people. She didn't need just me. She needed other people around too. So really when to give that up and to ask for help and to seek companionship, sometime from me, sometime not from me, totally away from that. And so we learned a lot through that, and we have continued to learn through that. And I would tell anybody that's on listening to this podcast, if you need to understand how to go through that, I've got a lot of experience there, and I'll be glad to visit with anybody that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's incredible how the Lord writes unique stories for each one of us.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times the stories, especially where suffering comes in, are opportunities that allow us to speak wisdom into another who goes through it after us. Yeah. So as hard as those things are, I mean, they serve such a beautiful purpose in the family of God. When a brother comes to you and says, hey, I just found this out. My wife was diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
What in the world do I do?
Yeah.
You pat him on the shoulder. You might chuckle a little bit and be like, it's going to be really hard, but you guys are going to get through this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, That's the case. Exactly.
Yeah. So the last necessary element when it comes to making wise decisions is courage to follow through. And I remember listening to Joe teach on this and thinking it was really interesting that this would be included in a lesson on making wise decisions, is that the actual follow-through portion of it. But the more I've thought about it, the more it makes sense that, you know, wisdom does take action. It takes the right action in the right ways at the right time. And so I'm curious, Mitch and Sean, feel free to jump in here. Can you think of a time when it was hard to follow through on a decision you knew was the right one? And how did you find the courage to push through and to do to make that next wise step?
And it's very recent. I'll start at the back end. How did you make that wise next step? It's through prayer.
Yeah.
Simple as that. I mean, you know, praying hard about it. Is this the right thing? Asking the Holy Spirit, let me know, is this where I need to be? You know, my very, very good friend, Walt Wywatis, who started in this set of awake sessions back in January, found out he was diagnosed with lung cancer about a year ago now. And Walt and his wife, Reva, were in our small group. And so we had taken a couple of months off in the summer of 22. And so at that time, we weren't meeting when that was discovered. So we, you know, his wife said, gee whiz, this is pretty tough. We're not sure where we're at. And we were about a month into our cancer walk. And so I just kept thinking, I need to connect with him. He didn't really want to see anybody. He was feeling pretty tough about it, and I can get through this and that whole kind of thing. So finally, after praying about it, and the Holy Spirit just kept touching me, going, you need to touch him. You need to reach out. And I finally called him and said, hey, how would you like to do a weekly Bible study with me? I'll drop by your house and spend an hour, hour and a half. And he said, yep. I mean, as fast as I could say it, he said, yes. You know, and I said, great, great. So I'll come by on Monday mornings and we'll do a Bible study together. Well, of course, the first half hour we talked about K-State, anything, whatever, with Walt. But we had a great time, and we'd known each other for 10 or 12 years, went to Israel together, etc. So for the next 9 months, we did a Bible study pretty much every Monday morning together. And I can tell you there were times I didn't want to go because I knew he had just come back from a session, you know, a chemotherapy session. He wasn't feeling great, so I'd reach out to him, and almost never, I can only think of once or twice that he said, I just can't do it today. Mm-hmm. He'd say, yeah, come, I want you to come. And he'd be there. Sometimes he'd be in a wheelchair. Sometimes he'd be with his walker. He'd always have two coffee pods sitting there right on the table ready to make a cup of coffee. You know, and we had such sweet time together, such relationship building. But it was tough. And I saw him fail physically over that 9 months to the point that the last 6 weeks I didn't get to go back just because he physically couldn't do it. But that was very, very difficult, and to reach out and to make that decision and to go forward with it. And yet, through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, through, you know, study, reading, it was something I had to make happen, and it really worked well. It's been a blessing for me, and it was a blessing, I think, for him and his family and everybody else too. So it worked out great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious, like, when you were kind of leading up to that decision, I guess, what gave you pause and made you kind of hesitate to make that initial contact, to do that thing that you felt like the Spirit was leading you to do?
Probably physically, not, or just wondering if he could really do it. Mm. Secondly, did he really want to?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when you get that diagnosis, it's like cursing God. God, why me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do this. I'm a good Christian. I'm at church every week. Why me?
Mm-hmm.
And I personally felt like he might have that. He didn't. He never displayed that, but that he might have that. And I wondered if that would be the case. And I think I had fear of what he might think, you know. But man, he erased that the minute I called him.
Yeah. Yeah, and to be so ready to say yes to that too,
you
had the courage to do what you felt like the Spirit was leading you to do, and then were met with immediate positive result is awesome.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't get that when you're faced with difficult decisions. And, you know, I can think of this moment in my life when I was processing through this question myself. Right as I was getting towards the end of my senior year of college, I did not really know what I wanted to do. And I'm sure most people that are listening to this have been out of college for a while, so I'll try to help this connect in some way. But for all you recent graduates out there, listen up. So I had gotten my degree in education. I had been working in this job at an after-school program for the last 2 years, and they had approached me and asked if I would be a director for them at a new program that they're going to be launching in a new city. And so I was going to be able to hire my own staff and run this program down in Arkansas, and I was super excited about this opportunity, but it just kept not sitting well with me because I felt like the Lord was leading me back to Topeka. To come back to marry my now wife, Allie, and to be invested here at this church. That just kept being on my heart. But I applied for, I couldn't even tell you how many jobs in the last semester of my senior year, and I didn't even get called back for more than two of them, and got turned down for both of those. Didn't even get interviews for either one of those. And I was like, what is happening? I feel like the Lord is leading me in this one direction, and yet the like vocational opportunity is sitting right in front of me, this other place, a job that I love, I feel confident in, there's opportunity for growth here, and yet the Lord's like, just come back, come back, come back. Well, I ended up deciding to just move back to Topeka. I ended up interviewing for a part-time job here at the church that they let me come on for 20 hours a week, working with volunteers on the weekends. Moved into my parents' house. This was not my ideal situation to come back to Topeka this way. But I knew that this was the right thing to do through prayer, through counsel with the people that were closest to me. You know, 4 years later, I'm married to my wife. We have a kid on the way. I love the church that I'm invested in and the job that I'm getting to be a part of. But there was this moment about a year into my job where I got a call from one of my friends who worked at the program that I was a part of down in Arkansas and told me, hey, I just thought you would want to know. All the funding that was going to go towards the new site that you were going to run ended up getting pulled and they lost everything.
Wow.
And like, it just blew me away to see. It's like, wow, this looked like the perfect opportunity. I really wanted to do it. It was right in my wheelhouse. And then I made the decision that I felt like the Lord was leading me to. And in some ways, maybe it looked like an unwise decision to turn down a sure thing. but it turned out to be the right thing. And it was just has continued to wow me over the years that the Lord was so clear in his leading. And so it's just like in the story that you were talking about, when he leads you to do something that seems scary, that you're not really sure what the end result is going to be. And then you take that step of faith, like he's going to be the one that upholds that and takes care of you. So that just popped into my mind.
Yeah.
It was a crazy experience.
Well, I can think of numerous times over the last 2 years that we prayed for Sean and Jessica with the baby and everything there. And you know, we begged God, we implored him on to move forward with the baby. And it didn't sound like it was going to happen for quite a while. And then all of a sudden, wow, here it is. And Annika now is 6 weeks old or something like that. You know, I mean, just amazing.
Yeah. No, yeah. I enjoy, just listening to you talk about earlier in the episode about people who are in front of you. And I just look at you guys, you know, with the utmost respect and just hear some of these stories on how that this decision making is happening. And I just pray that anybody who's listening can kind of do what Mitch and Liam are saying here, just in regards to just taking themselves out of the equation, bringing God into the equation, bringing others into the equation, and being able to process some of those things. Because it's in the heat of the battle, it's so easy to just choose ourselves, choose what we think might be best, you know, and not truly, point number one that it comes back to, this wisdom of God, you can find that through Scripture, right? So not going back to these Scriptures to focus on where we're at onto that. So I think that that's been one of the key parts of this this conversation that I'm kind of taken from, and yeah, just continue to speak life into whoever you can. And you know, I think Mitch, you know, as we kind of get towards the end of this episode, I think intentional. You've been very intentional about reaching out to Walt in that situation. Very intentional with, you know, me and our Monday gatherings, Friday mornings, Deacon on the board for a while, just everything of raising your daughters. Intentionality has been such a big thing, and I think that that's important to recognize that has to be in place in order for these building blocks to continue to grow and for the ministry to push forward on something like that. So I think circling back, I think it's important to recognize that.
Yeah. I think it would be helpful now to circle back to those four necessary elements of making wise decisions and just really reinforce those for you so that when you're faced with these decisions in life that might come, whether they're small or big, you have a way and a path to process through it in a good way and in a way that honors the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you, when you're faced with those decisions, first and foremost, pray to the Lord. That is what it looks like to seek wisdom from God. Open up his word and ask him to lead you in the right way of making this decision. Sometimes God's word doesn't speak plainly about the decision that you have in front of you, but it does have wisdom as to how you can go about making that decision, whether this way or the other. And also pursue counsel and insight from others. And that is really two and three. When you surround yourself with brothers who are beside you, behind you, and in front of you, you are opening yourself up to the counsel of God to speak through them into your life as well. And to glean from their insights and experiences that they have had. Like both of these guys sitting next to me have lived lives that are completely different than mine. And they have learned wisdom from the experience that God has given them. And it's something that I would want to pursue from them when faced with situations that are similar.
Right.
And lastly,
I think one point on that, what Mitch had said when seeking counsel is that counsel can be your wife, your partner, like recognizing her as an equal, if not, you know, more. So recognizing that, or, you know, we say brothers, but we do exactly mean sisters as well, to seek wisdom from that as well. So I just kind of wanted to hit that point real quick.
But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then really what it comes down to at the end is committing to follow the Lord wherever he leads. And I think it takes us back to that passage that you opened us up with, that we are dying to ourselves and taking up the cross of Christ and committing to walk with him wherever he leads, you know, in the way of life, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we will never go astray if the way we are following is his way. Right. And we have to commit to following that, even when it's hard, even when we're afraid of what might happen or we're unsure about the results. Commit to follow through and have the courage to follow through, knowing that you're not alone, that you have the power of the Spirit with you, that you have brothers and sisters beside you, praying for you and encouraging you. But I want to close by asking you guys, how are you seeking to grow in the wisdom of God right now? What does that look like in your life to continually be growing in the wisdom of God? Because no matter how far in life we get, we all have areas of foolishness mm-hmm. that we need to grow in. So I'm curious, how are you guys seeking to grow in wisdom from God right now?
I think with the, for me, the content that that I've kind of been bringing in for a while, a lot of the content that I would just bring in myself would just be for me, you know, whether it was entertainment or sports or whatever content under that. So advancing in just that wild at heart. I had not probably deep dove, read a book in 6 months probably onto that. So I'm about halfway through Wild at Heart, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners are. So I think just the content that I'm kind of trying to progress into my eyes and my brain before night, before, you know, as when I wake up there for a while, this was kind of first thing, last thing kind of deal with, I'm referring to my phone. So that just in regards to what am I bringing into my heart and my mind right before I'm kind of going, you know, waking up and going to bed onto that. So I would say that's been a huge growth point over these, mm-hmm. I don't know, past probably spring. So past 3, 4, 5 months.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, trying to include other guys in my life so that we can share life together. I think that's a big point because, you know, we kind of double our effort. You know, we two of us can move forward, you know, that way. And so I've been trying to reach out to other guys, connect with guys whenever possible. I definitely what Sean just said, you know, trying to make sure the content is something that is uplifting and wonderful. I'm a big podcast guy. I love podcasts. So when I'm driving around, I'm generally listening to a podcast of some kind. And most of them, 90% of them are Christian podcasts from a Christian author or speaker or preacher or whoever it might be, Awake. You know, I mean, if you got a chance, guys, go listen to season 2, week 5. That's wisdom. That's the one that Joe did. And it is, I listened to it again and went, wow, I forgot how good this was. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. So, you know, we have tremendous learning and teaching right here at Fellowship Bible Church, to say the least, of lots of opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would echo what both of you guys were saying. I think the big area that I'm seeking to grow in wisdom is wisdom and how to be a dad and raise my son. That's kind of the specific area that I'm seeking the wisdom from the Lord about. And filling my mind and my heart with as much good material as I can, whether from the Word of God or from Christians who have written great books on those topics. And I've been really excited about diving into some of those things. So that would be my encouragement to all of you listening, is to pursue wisdom continually. It is a treasure, and it is worth all of the time invested in pursuing wisdom that comes from the Lord. Pursue it with other brothers beside you. That's why we're here. That's why we do this podcast. That's why we're investing our time and effort and energy into men's ministry, is because we want to help you guys find and follow Jesus, just like Mitch talked about. So we want to give you guys some questions and time to chew on this topic with your group and to pursue wisdom together. So be on the lookout for our discussion questions to come out, and I pray that you guys have an incredible time with your groups as you gather together. Sean, Mitch, thank you so much for being with us on this episode. Mitch, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. We appreciate you having you on.
You bet.
And guys, we will see you next time on the Awake Podcast.